What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday. It is hump day, but we will be humping from a distance because today is an audio-only, podcast-only episode due to construction at our studio. But, Claude, I must ask, how you doing?
Oh. I'm awake and I am alive. And those are two really important things when recording a podcast. I'm okay. You know, I've seen better days. I went hard on the sauce last night and I'm paying the consequences now for drinking on a Tuesday night. And that's my life and my story. And I'm sticking with it.
Well, we want to hear more about how you're feeling, but I was telling you before the episode that you drank so much last night because you knew we were doing audio only and that you could, because otherwise you would not drink that much on a Tuesday night. So sometimes like having, you know, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yes, like I agree. I went wild because I didn't have to wake up and get dressed and I knew we'd be podcasting a little bit later. So like it was just kind of like a day off kind of, but now I just...
To pay the piper.
The piper is being paid. I have like a splitting headache. That's like my new hangover. Like I think I used to get like nauseous and like my stomach would hurt and I would be unsettled. And now I have like the worst headaches ever.
I mean, you're telling me a story that I already know. Like I know how this ends. I know how it plays out. And I just want to let you know my heart goes out to you. Like I'm thinking of you. You're in my thoughts today.
Thank you. Because I appreciate it.
It's literally the worst feeling on earth.
No, it's like, and honestly, I really want to be like productive today. Like I want to get a lot of work done. I have to edit this vlog for the Patreon. Like I have a lot of things I want to do and I will do none of them. Like, and we have a long weekend coming up. So I really wanted to like be productive this week. And this just like really, like I'm actually living a huge life of regret right now. Like usually I stand by my choices. But I just, like, was at the restaurant last night at, like, 12 o'clock, and I looked over at Brian, and I was just, like, dizzy. And I was like, why did I get so drunk?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you're dealing with that. And, you know, maybe snatch or learn your lesson next time it's Tuesday night. But do you think that you went so hard because you were feeling yourself because you were styled by me?
No, because once the video comes out, people will know the truth.
Okay, let's talk about this video for a second, because hopefully it will be up today or tomorrow.
Yes, it will. No, I will get it up today, I promise.
Yeah, because I styled Claudia for her night out. I personally had so much fun, like, going through your closet, finding all, like, the Jackie O-approved items, and I was thinking back on it when I got home, like, laughing at like, some of the things that we said. It was just, like, so funny. I know for you it was, like, a little traumatizing.
Yes.
But I think it was worth it for the content. Do it for the vlog.
No, it was actually hysterical, and if I hadn't just been so stressed, because I actually was getting styled for something, like I had somewhere to go, and Jackie was a little late to the styling session, so I was like already running behind, and then Jackie just comes and shows up and like literally starts pulling things out of my closet that don't fit me and that are all pink. Like it was torture, but the vlog ended up being really funny.
Yeah, really, really funny. But speaking of styling, there's one more thing I want to talk about before we get into everything, and that is your shirt, because Claudia is wearing these new pajamas. I don't know if they are new.
They're not new. They're Halloween themed from Target.
You got them in October or you got them on sale recently.
No.
But they're so spooky that every time you call me and you're wearing them, I just have to call them out. Because I'm personally, I'm spooked the fuck out.
People, I wear these all the time and people always DM me like, LOL, you're so quirky wearing your Halloween pajamas in the summer. And I'm like, it's not a quirk. Like, you have seasonal pajamas? Like, they're pajamas.
Unless they're made of, like, fleece, it's not seasonal.
Okay, unless there's, like, a picture of Santa on it. Like, I guess you would save those for like, you know, Christmas morning.
No, even if there's a picture of Santa, like, if it's cotton, it's fine all season. I have one pair of pajamas that are made of, like, blanket material.
Yes.
And those are seasonal. I would not put those on in the summer.
No, but, like, everyone is just like, oh, that Claudia is so quirky and crazy with her seasonal pajamas being in the summer. And it's like, it's really not a conscious decision. Like, I'm going to be crazy today and put on my Halloween pajamas. Like, these were at the top of my pile and they're pajamas. Like, I don't care that they have cobwebs on them.
No, I'm not concerned about, like, the seasons or anything. I'm just concerned that I'm spooked.
I'm just letting you know people are concerned about the seasons.
Right, but they don't know, and they'll soon learn, that you're not like other girls. You can't be expected to wear the right pajamas in the right season.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I'm not like other girls, and I don't know. When society stops expecting me to be like other girls, then we'll finally find peace and harmony.
Right, then we can have a conversation. But until then, no.
We have a little programming update for you guys because it's Wednesday. And mm-hmm. we usually would do Dear Toasters on Wednesday, but I like doing it better in studio. It's just, like, more funny.
Yeah, to, like, be together and, like...
And, like, vibe off each other's awesomeness.
100%. So we're going to do Dear Toasters tomorrow.
Which is kind of crazy because we are really strict with the Wednesday Dear Toasters adherence. Like, we really are. And
yeah,
I have the prompts. I have the prompts right in front of me. Like, we could do it, but I just, first of all, don't want to. And second of all, like, really want to do it in studio with you tomorrow. Yeah. And it'll be, like, our final show. And we'll just be, like, those crazy advice-giving gals.
Yes. And we need you at your best to give your best advice.
Yeah.
No offense. I wouldn't want advice from you today.
Oof. Wow. No, that's true. Like, look at my own house. It's not even in order. Who the hell am I to be doling out advice to other people?
100%. So Dear Toasters will be tomorrow. But today we still have the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. And I think we should get right into them because I have some stuff that I'm excited to talk about.
Okay, well, I can do that for you and let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Hair Food. They offer simple, superfood-inspired products that will make your hair look and feel amazing. Whatever hair texture or hair type you have, Hair Food has a recipe for you. In addition to their beloved coconut milk and chai spice collection, you've got to try some of their new recipes like the apple cider vinegar hair rinse, perfect for days when your hair needs a gentle cleanse. They also have a turmeric and almond oil detangling milk, which can take care of the most stubborn knots, and it reduces frizz just in time for summer. And they have shea butter and pear color repair concentrate, which makes overprocessed hair look vibrant and healthy. And they all smell so good. Every product from Hair Food is free of sulfates, parabens, dyes, mineral oils, and they are all certified PETA cruelty free. So all the products are fabulous. We've had a lot of success with all of them. I really like the detangling milk. I always forget, like, detanglers, not just for kids. And the turmeric and almond oil one smells so great and really leaves your hair super smooth after using. So if you're looking for new, nourished, healthy hair, it's got to be Hair Food. You can look for it at Amazon, Walmart, and Target.
Love it. Sign on. Feed your hair. First story, I'm sure, like, these are the pictures and videos everyone's talking about. Aaron Rodgers lives it up in Hawaii with Shailene Woodley, Miles Teller, and Kelly Sperry. Kelly Sperry was wonderful enough to gift us with a photo dump, video dump of their adventures in Hawaii. And I don't know about you, but I was seriously living for it.
No, no, Jackie. Like, it was life-changing content.
Life-changing content plus, like, a little video of Aaron Rodgers and Kelly
not knowing the words to The One by Taylor Swift, which was really frustrating, but I still enjoyed it.
No, I still enjoyed it. I didn't know that it was the content that I needed, like, to wake up to, but it was. Who knew?
No, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. I had, you know, kind of explained what I was going through, like, a few weeks ago with, you know, the Shailene Woodley, Aaron Rodgers relationship. And I think at first I was really kind of skeptical about it. I really was. And then I was slowly, you know, coming on board. And I just want to let you know, I've just been promoted to captain and I am the captain of this ship. Like, I am obsessed. The Disney thing flew a loop, whatever that fucking phrase is, but I'm okay.
Yeah, no, this was like major, major ship points because on Tuesday, the couple enjoyed an outdoor adventure with Miles Teller and his wife, Kelly Sperry, as they hiked through Hawaii's lush landscape and enjoyed a double date in the evening. We saw photos and videos of Shailene, Aaron, Kelly, Miles, just like
the crew
living it up, nature girlies. And Kelly also shared a video of her and Aaron singing along to Taylor Swift. Filmed by Shailene.
FBS, you know, films by Shailene. And I just, like, I would die. Like, I'm obsessed with, you know what it is? First of all, I was already, like, really starting to, like them as a couple. But Miles and Kelly can just, like, they have that effect on me. Like, whoever they like, I like, you know? They made me, mm-hmm. like, Nina Dobrev, you know? So this is just, like, a culmination of so many beautiful, wonderful things. And, like, even though I would literally rather die than go on a hike, like, I wanted to be there so bad.
Wait, go on a hike in your bikini. Oh. Shailene wasn't even wearing shorts. And I think that's also what made these pictures so compelling. It's, like, all four of them, like, running around in their bathing suits. All four, like, bathing suits, bikinis, trunks, like.
Wait, that's so, like, crazy. I didn't realize they weren't wearing shorts in a hike. Like, what about your thighs?
Okay, Kelly's wearing shorts. Okay. Because, like. Of course. But, like, no, Shailene is not.
No shorts.
No shorts on a hike.
I really hope she brought, like, a. Well, she probably doesn't get chafe. If you're making a decision to go on a hike without shorts, like, you don't know what chafing is. Like, you've never heard of it.
Never heard of her.
That's insane.
No, it's insane, but it made the pictures and the content, like, more compelling.
It's criminal behavior. Do you think maybe she took the shorts off for the photo?
No, because there's, like, photos, videos. There are no shorts in sight.
Wow, I did not even put that together, and now it's literally all I can think about.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. And then, of course, we got, like, a shirtless Aaron and a shirtless Miles, and everyone, of course, is the Snatchler.
Of course.
That just goes a really long way in this whole photo series.
Who would you rather, Miles or Aaron?
That's not even a question for me.
Oh, really?
Miles every single time.
Yeah, no, Miles Teller is literally the hottest piece of ass in Hollywood, and I don't think enough people talk about it.
No, 100%. I totally agree. I'm sure there are some girls out there who would choose Aaron, and that's nice for you. That means there's less competition.
No, like, I wouldn't not choose Aaron, but I would choose Miles, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I do know.
And I think what another thing I was thinking about, I don't know if you know this, and I'm not sure I'm speaking 100% facts, but there's, like, a lot of drama in the football space with Aaron Rodgers. Like, his team hates him. He said, I don't know, like, the whole extent, but, like, he's in, like, trouble. Like, he's in getting canceled from his team.
Okay, but he's also canceling his team. I've tried to get as much information about this as possible. And we haven't spoken about this on the show.
No.
Okay, so pretty much Aaron Rodgers said to his team, the Green Bay Packers, who he's been playing for so long.
The GBP.
He said, fuck you, actually. So they
to the teammates or, like, the management?
Everything. I don't even think he's playing for them right now. He's going to be a free agent and he's going to go somewhere else. Because they drafted another quarterback when, like, they clearly have a quarterback. And I guess for the past few years, he's been telling them exactly what he needs on the field. And they're not listening to him. And
he's not feeling heard.
He's not feeling heard. He's not feeling seen. He's also feeling, like, replaced. And
no, that's shady as fuck. Like,
he's still, like, a good quarterback. So to use their draft pick on a new quarterback instead of the positions that they need, I think he felt really hurt by that.
Zelo kavod.
Yes. But on the other hand, so he made this big stink and, like, is, like, not playing for the Packers anymore, wants to be released. And on that front, I'm a little bit, like, man, like, this is your job that pays you millions of dollars, so you didn't get what you wanted. Like, sit down.
Yes, but I do think in sports, when you're at a certain level, like, you earn the right to act like a baby.
Like a little bitch.
Like a little bitch. And I think that he's in that position, so I think that, it is what it is.
He is in that position, and so, but I feel like, on principle, I think if anybody were to do this, I don't know. It doesn't.
Totally, no, it's literally right then, when Kelly Ripa, like, mm-hmm. stormed off live with Kelly and Michael because Michael Strahan got a better job.
Yeah, but then I was, like, thinking, like, okay, say this was Tom Brady and he was, like, telling the Patriots, right. I need these running backs, and, like, they drafted another quarterback. I'd be like, Tom, you gotta go.
Yeah, no, so, it's frustrating. Maybe he didn't handle it in the right way.
Maybe, but I'm just trying not to be like biased towards Aaron.
No, me neither. If anything, I'm like a little too on his side. But what I was going to say is that like within all of this drama, I love that he's just like literally not giving a fuck and is in Hawaii and him and Shailene are like living their best lives. Like you would never know based on like his social events calendar that he's going through like a major career crisis.
Actually, you would because now he's available to do all these things.
But
he's
no, football's like, not in season.
He's not training. He's not working.
They get some time off.
I don't know.
Oh, that's a good call, actually.
You know, like, he's definitely acting like someone who's unemployed.
He's acting like boy with no job.
So that's the latest sports news for you guys, and I feel as though you needed to know it.
I needed to know. Like, I didn't know all the drums. And you know what they say? Like, anything can happen on draft day.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And that was really the catalyst. Draft day is the catalyst for
Aaron so much Rogers for so much
hiking in Hawaii with a shortsless Shailene.
The shortsless Shailene. Let's go back to that. Like, I could literally write a dissertation on the shortslessness of Shailene Woodley because it's insanity.
No, I'm going back to Kelly's profile. I need to look at the pictures just once more. Just to see, like, the shortslessness in action.
No, I can't even look
there's
at
not
it.
A short, there's not a short in sight for sure.
Like, not in her hands? No. Not in Aaron's hands? Maybe he's holding them for her? No. Damn.
The shorts are gone. Yeah.
Damn.
So that's your latest shorts news.
I'm so glad that we covered that.
Are you ready for our next story, which is a little more couple news that I find to be quite interesting?
Sure.
Ian Somerhalder says his wife, Nikki Reed, helped him get out of eight-figure debt. Have you read this?
No. I mean, I am so obsessed with this couple because, first of all, like, you just love to see a Hollywood couple stand the test of time. And two, I just love Nikki Reed from Twilight.
Yes, agreed. Well, Ian Somerhalder took to Instagram to praise his wife. He said, "I've never disclosed this publicly, but this woman worked selflessly for 2 years to build me out of a terrible business situation I got myself into. I invested heavily. I made huge personal guarantees to banks. However, due to greed and fraud within that company and fraudulent activities from our biggest customer, not to mention the temporary collapse of the oil and gas industry, I was left in an eight-figure hole." He didn't name the company. He called the experience a true nightmare and said he had to travel the world weekly to help pay off his debt. He also added that it took a toll on his health, saying that he landed in the hospital 4 times in 2 years. He said this woman here decided that she didn't want to see her husband ruin his body, mind, and spirit, and pulled up her bootstraps and got down in the trenches, assembling a team to get to the negotiation table to find a way out. She devoted her life to getting me out of that mess, and it almost killed her along the way. I am where I am because of this woman.
Wait, okay, so not to be dumb, 8 figures is like $10 million, like, or up, like...
Yes, yes.
Somewhere between 10 and 99.
That's what that is, yeah.
Okay.
And then he also in the post, he's promoting Brothers Bond Bourbon, so I think this is his new business venture. Like, he's talking about...
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Brothers Bond Bourbon, which was distilled and crafted in the tradition of all great bourbon, hand-selected by Ian Somerhalder and Paul Wesley. Oh, he's also from the show.
Yeah, Vampire Diaries. I guess Nina Dobrev didn't get the phone call.
You must be 21 and older to follow.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Here's the thing. That's crazy, first of all. And I'm curious what the deal was like before. I guess it was a liquor company.
No, I mean, not necessarily, but that is what it sounds like. Because it's like, you know, when one door is opening, you can talk about the one that closed.
The window. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Cool. Like, I like couldn't think of anything interesting or funny to say.
That's some crazy tea, 10-figure debt. And that, yeah. Like, Nikki Reed, like, soldiered up, in, like, Karen Huger.
No, and that's literally Karen Huger. And that's so something Rosalie, is that her name? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so something Rosalie would do for her man, like.
Beyond.
In Twilight. It's so Rosalie. I love to see people channeling their inner Rosalie.
Yeah. No, and I've always, I don't know, I feel like back in the day when they first got together, I had read some blind items that made me question their relationship.
Oh.
But then recently I've just sort of like moved on. And now firmly, like, a little sailboat out to sea might be meeting up with a bigger ship.
Yeah. Like, I think there's real proof in the pudding. Mm-hmm. And this pudding has been delicious for years. And I think they had that like powerful moment where I don't know literally why I keep fucking bringing up Nina Dobrev in this podcast. This is the third time I've mentioned her, but it's important because, So she was dating Ian Somerhalder on Vampire Diaries, and like Nikki Reed, you know, swooped in, they got married. Like Nina Dobrev is literally Jennifer Aniston, you know?
Sure, sure.
And to this day, people like still talk about it. And then Nina and Nikki like did this whole, come together moment publicly to like support women. And I enjoyed that. I did.
I didn't. I'm unfamiliar.
And I literally just said the longest sentence and it literally said nothing.
Well, but they came together.
Will you give me a minute? I need a LaCroix. I feel like I've been in the desert, and I don't get a LaCroix, it's just in the fridge. Feel free to talk amongst yourselves.
You grab a LaCroix, and I am going to let you know that our next sponsor is Coors Pure. Do you ever feel like living a healthy lifestyle is hard? Like you try so damn hard to keep up with what is considered healthy? That's actually me to a T. You push yourself each day, getting better and better, but it can be overwhelming. Coors Pure is organic, but chill about it. The new Coors Pure is refreshingly simple beer with organic barley, organic hops, and water. At 92 calories and zero sugar, it is the perfect beer to celebrate the wins of everyday life. Coors Pure is all about promoting balance and giving aggressive affirmations to everyday heroes. Whether you got that run-in or just got as far as putting on your running clothes, Coors Pure celebrates you. Wow, that's literally me today sitting here in my running clothes. I feel so seen by Coors Pure.
Like, by the way, so seen.
So fucking seen. So Coors Pure is perfect for a gal like me who wants to be healthy but wants to have a good time, wants to be involved, wants to be social, but is always trying to be like health conscious on a wellness journey. Coors Pure is not leaving you out of the fun, you guys.
Honestly, you needed Coors Pure in Nashville.
I did need Coors Pure.
Yeah.
Coors Pure is the perfect beer to celebrate the wins of everyday life. So when you want to enjoy a beer while without the guilt, reach for Coors Pure. It's organic, but chill about it. Go to CoorsPure.com to see where you can find Coors Pure. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Albany, Georgia.
All right, what's next on the celebrity docket list?
The next up is some big contract news in the food industry. Guy Fieri just signed a massive new Food Network contract and is now the highest paid chef and one of the highest paid people on TV.
Wow.
Guy Fieri, also known as the mayor of Flavortown, but with the contract he just signed that title. As. What?
That's a funny line. I was just laughing.
Oh, okay.
The mayor of Flavortown? Like, that's not a place.
What are you talking about? He is the mayor of Flavortown.
No, I know he is, but that's not a place.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not like a geographical location.
Yeah, it is.
Where's Flavortown, USA?
When the flavors are good.
Right. Right. No, I was literally just remarking that I thought the opening line of this article was funny. Like, that's it. That would be like an article saying Theo Saffer, also known as Dr. Theodore Fitchevin.
Yes, but I don't know why that would make you laugh.
It's a funny joke. Oh my God, why are you not understanding? Like, that I just was giving like a little giggle.
I just feel like you're coming for Guy, and I'm not here for that.
Oh, wow. That's not at all what I was doing. Do you think I would come for the highest paid actor on television?
Not what he is. Highest paid Food Network chef. No, highest paid chef.
And then you also said?
One of the highest paid people.
That's literally what I said.
And I never said actor.
Oh, that's true, because he's not an actor. You can't act that good.
No, but it was just announced that Guy Fieri agreed to a new 3-year, $80 million contract with the Food Network, which equates to $27 million per year. That's a $50 million raise over Guy's previous 3-year, $30 million contract.
I wonder why. Like, why'd it go up so much?
It's because Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is a literal cash cow. It generated more than $230 million in ad revenue in 2020 alone.
I mean, it's honestly literally the greatest fucking show alive.
It sounds like he's underpaid. Also, not only does Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives like drive ad revenue, but they're highlighting local small businesses.
That's yes,
like what they do. I think that on every front, like Triple D is so fabulous.
Triple D was promoting eating local before it was like a trend to have that written on your bumper sticker.
100 and supporting small businesses.
Yeah, before it was
Instagram GIF.
Yeah, literally. That's such a good call, first of all. Second of all, talent gets, you know, the salary it demands. And you look at Guy and you just can't make this shit up. Like, he's so funny. And his outfits, he's got this great brand. People die for him. He has like such star quality. Like, I think 80 million's not enough.
I agree. But I'm like, now that I'm reading it, like, yeah, he could have gone higher. Also, he has spent the last year raising money for restaurant workers who are out of work.
Really?
And so I just feel, yeah.
So we need to give him more money so that he can funnel it to the charity.
So that he can raise more money. He raised $25 million for restaurant workers who were laid off.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So sweet. Like, he's a philanthropist. He's a mayor. Like, get you a guy who can do both.
He's a mayor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. No, I really am so happy for him. I've kind of now like craving watching, like spending all afternoon watching Triple D.
That's a nice idea.
Even though, like, you cannot pay me to eat one single fucking thing that's ever been featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Unless, I mean, I guess some of the places have fries.
Yeah. No, I feel that for you. I do. I would love to see him do, like, a kosher diner for me.
Yeah. Have they ever done, like, Katz's, you know, like...
Has he ever come to New York City?
That is a good question. I know he's been on Long Island and...
You know, has he ever stepped foot in New York City? I feel like the city would implode if Guy Fieri showed up.
We literally can't handle his chaotic energy. Like, no. It is too chaotic.
Because the city's too chaotic, so it would just, like, cancel each other out.
And I just can't really see him in his little red Corvette, like... rolling down the streets of New York. It would literally stir up so much pandemonium, like the city would implode.
His red Corvette in the Midtown Tunnel.
His red Corvette. Corvette. Hop in a motherfucking jet like that. That's literally Guy Fieri, like music bouncing on his way to steal your entree.
100%. He can steal my entree.
He's anytime. Mr. Steal Your Entree.
Are you ready for our next story? It's a little more TV news. That's like a sad follow-up to a story we shared a few weeks ago.
I do. I just want to like really majorly shout out the person who invented LaCroix. Like, you were real homie and I live for you.
I heard the inventor is LaCroix Bierman.
That's a great joke, first of all. Second of all, yeah. I want to have a threesome. I'm going to assume that the man who invented LaCroix is a man. But I want to have a threesome with him. And the man who invented the heating pad, I looked him up. His name was Earl something, and he was pretty hot. So the three of us have a very busy afternoon.
Stop.
I'm going to Google it. LaCroix inventor.
Speaking of three icons, Powerpuff Girls live action reboot's pilot was scrapped for being too campy, says the CW CEO. If it's too campy for CW, it's scary to think what it looked like. But the CW will be going back to the drawing board and retooling its Powerpuff Girls reboot after the pilot was scrapped. The CW chairman and CEO said, "Sometimes things miss, and this was just a miss. We believe in the cast completely. We believe in Diablo Cody and Heather Regnier, the writers, and we believe in the auspices of Greg Berlanti and Warner Brothers Studios. In this case, the pilot didn't work, but because we see enough elements in there, we're going to give it another shot. We didn't want to go forward with what we had." So Powerpuff Girls is back to the drawing board. The pilot did not work.
Is that really scary to think about? Is the drawing board at Brar Barn?
Oh, for sure.
Can I say something with all respects to the network?
That's literally why you're here, is to say stuff.
That's such a good call. I just really feel like nobody needs this. Like, not a single person on planet fucking Earth like cares or really needs this. And I'm going to go even further. Like, yes, the Powerpuff Girls were cute. But like, entertainment value wise, like, I don't really remember the show being that good. So I just didn't feel like it's a story that's worth retelling.
Yeah, the way that I'm feeling, when this news was first announced and, like, Dove Cameron was a part of it, I was really excited because I was like, that's so cute. But, like, if they did a pilot with the writer of Diablo Cody, she wrote Juno, right?
I have no idea.
She's, like, a really famous writer. Like, they couldn't have gotten anyone more, like, prolific. Yeah.
And if that didn't work.
And if that didn't work, and, like, I'm just... And it's too campy for the CW, which is literally stands for... camp
woohoo
camp.
Yeah.
then I just don't think there's anything here. And also, how do you make Powerpuff Girls not campy? And like, and also, unless you're going to make them a little racy, like, what the fuck are they going to do all day?
No, literally, like, I don't understand this project at all. And I honestly don't support it. I don't.
Yeah, no, I supported it, and now I'm rescinding my support.
Same, like, literally same. And you know what? I love CW. Like, normalize not going through things that aren't good, you know?
Yeah, it's never too late to back out.
Yeah, no, and even if it is, like, still, back out.
Yeah, I agree. I really think that the drawing board should tell them to stop.
The drawing board should be empty.
Yeah.
The drawing board should run out of Expo markers.
100%.
I know, Rosa.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Only if it's the fifth and final story that's brought to you by the zebra, is it?
It is.
I'm so glad. The zebra is everything of the sort. Think about all the quarantine purchases you made. Late night pizza deliveries, mini succulent trios, an online trainer you never spoke to again. Then there's one of your biggest purchases of the year, which is insurance. Americans overspend on their car and home insurance by billions every year. That money that could have been spent more on retail therapy. And that's where the Zebra can help you. The Zebra is the nation's leading insurance comparison site for car and home insurance. In minutes, you can compare policies from every major provider for free, all in one independent marketplace. After a few quick questions, the Zebra pairs people with the right insurance company for them, helping everyone save time and money. You can buy online or over the phone with one of their licensed insurance agents. There's no hidden fees or fine print about your personal information. And the best of all is that the Zebra has no stake in the policy you choose. They're just here to find something helpful for you in your coverage. Make insurance your smartest purchase yet. Visit thezebra.com/toast. That's thezebra.com/toast.
Love it. Okay. Our fifth and final story is a really interesting story from the New York Post, a little real estate news that's going to lead into our Rahoni recap. But New York Post has compiled the 10 most expensive homes owned by the Real Housewives.
Okay, this is so interesting.
So interesting. Are you ready for it? We're going to go through all 10.
Wait, I just want to guess a few.
Okay, please do.
Maloof?
No.
The Maloofs aren't on this?
No.
Okay, LVP's original home?
Her current home.
Okay. Wait, that's shocking. I feel like they're all in Beverly Hills. One, because they're the richest franchise, and two, it's like the hottest real estate market. Oh, okay, so that's a nod to keep going.
I'm trying not to give too much away.
Erica Jane's home has to be on there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Former home, sorry. Okay, I feel good about my guesses. Yeah.
Okay, number 10 is Ramona Singer's Hamptons house for $6.43 million.
Wow, good for Ramona.
Good for Ramona. Yeah, that was that was shocking, but then, like, not.
No, and also, like, her home value in the last year has probably doubled. Everything in the Hamptons is literally on fire. Like, a house can't sit on the market for 30 seconds without being bought. Like, everyone, because of COVID, bought a house in the Hamptons. And so Ramona's actually really smart for redecorating it. And if Ramona ever needs money, like, she's sitting on a lakefront Southampton property.
Yeah, no, even last night on the episode, like, they were outside working out with Garth, and it's just, like, it has, like, a water view, this house. It has the most amazing backyard.
It's a beautiful house.
It really is. Okay, number 9, shockingly, Teddy Mellencamp's Beverly Hills house in Encino, California, $6.49 million.
That's the one they had bought before she left the show.
Yes, and it actually looks so nice.
It does.
We never got to see, we never got to film there.
Wait, yeah, wait, they're in a new house?
Yeah.
No, she bought a house while she was a housewife for, like, around $6 million. It was, like, a house up the hill.
Oh, but did she ever live there?
Yeah, it's, like, on a cliff. Like, it's the house that she was at in her most recent...
No, the one on the cliff. No, the one that has on stilts.
Yeah.
This is not it.
It's not?
She has a new house that Mauricio helped her buy. It looks like the backyard looks like Kylie's new house, honestly.
Oh, wow. I've got to look into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just when things were getting interesting for Teddy... Boom.
Right. Number 8, Camille Grammer's Malibu house, $6.5 million.
Yep.
Number 7, Sutton's house in Bel Air.
Wait, you just went from 6 to 7.
I went from 8 to 7.
Okay, you said 6. Okay.
I said 6 in the price.
No, you didn't.
Well, good thing we have this recorded, so we can see
it's
who's right.
Great.
It's great. We're all happy about it.
Okay, sorry. Number 7.
Number 7. Sutton, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, $7.9 million, her new house.
Oh, her new one, which I don't even know what it looks like yet.
Yeah, there's pictures in this article. It's quite fascinating.
Oh, I must study this article later.
Number six, Kyle Richards' house in Encino, $8.25 million.
That's the current one, correct?
Yes.
I do believe of all the women this season, I would like that house for myself, of all the houses. It's so stunning.
It is so stunning. Number five, Dorit's house in Encino, $9.5 million.
The one she currently lives in?
Yes.
No, that is just fake fucking news. There's no way.
I mean, it is.
You're telling me that Dorit's lovely model home costs more than Kyle's palatial estate?
That's what they're saying.
Kyle literally has acreage.
That's what they're saying.
Dorit has a backyard full of pavers.
Why would they lie?
I thought you were going to say the house that they were renting before, but they never owned it, so it can't be included.
Nope. Number four, Sonia Morgan's New York townhouse, $10.75 million. That's a nice piece of property.
New York represent. We got two on the list. I thought the whole thing was going to be Beverly Hills.
Yeah. No, New York represent. Number three, Lisa Vanderpump's Beverly Hills house is worth $11.6 million. You know, that house is so stunning. I'm looking at pictures, and it's like, I feel like when she lived there, we didn't even appreciate the fact that, like, I don't know why I always thought she just lived in a house of cards.
And yeah.
That everything was just like, but, like, no, those views are real. Like, the backyard is real.
No, like, it's and amazing. What's insane was that this home was, like, a downgrade, remember? Like, she lived in, and so I don't know how that didn't make the list, because that home was enormous, and it was across the street from the Maloofs. And
I think it's all about houses that people live
currently. Yes, because that would make no sense otherwise. Because I remember we were like, is Lisa Vanderpump poor when she moved into Villa Rosa? Because her original home was the house that they used on the season premiere of Schitt's Creek, like when they were showing how rich the Roses were. Like, it was huge. And then we like literally thought the house that she moved into was a dump. But Lisa Vanderpump's house is stunning.
It's the most beautiful house, I think, of all housewives. Like, if I can move into one, it would be that one. But, like, I just feel like whenever I saw it on TV, like, I didn't have that feeling.
There's something really, really, really tacky about everything Lisa Vanderpump touches. Like, her restaurants are so tacky. Sometimes even her aesthetic, even though it's, like, all pink and light and lucite, it's, like, she just has, like, a tacky vibe to her.
She does. Even if she's wearing diamonds, like, she makes them look costume.
Yeah. So, like, I think that's why we thought that about her house.
Yeah. Number two, Erika Jayne's Pasadena house, $13 million.
Okay, wait. Let me just give me 1 second to think of number one.
Oh, okay. Think broadly.
Bethany.
No.
Okay. Can you give me the city?
What?
Can you give... Oh, Dubrow.
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy.
Heather Dubrow's Newport Beach home, $21 million. And we never fucking got to see it.
No, but we were tortured for seasons talking about it.
Justice for us. We never got to see it. And it's number one on the list.
Wow. You know whose home was also really beautiful? That original Bedore home. That was all made from
that had
plants.
Like, crystals like built into the ground.
Yeah. The stairs were made of plants.
Yeah, no, but like she literally had like the house, like some people have Wi-Fi. She had like crystals wired through.
Yeah, but like she was also like had the most miserable life when she was there too. So it's like.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. The Dubrows. Mm-hmm. That's Dubrows. So crazy because like I know that Heather Dubrow has a lot of money, but like I don't think of her as richer than Kyle Richards.
Yeah, but I don't think of them together.
Ever,
but now I do.
Honestly, Heather Dubrow was actually not terribly unsuited for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, but she lives in Newport.
Yeah.
Which is literally, like, it's the Real Housewives of Newport now.
Yes, they all live in, like, Laguna.
Yeah, so she needs to come back with her $21 million house.
Oh, my God, I would love to see it. Is there a tour anywhere online? I know she has, like, a losery YouTube channel that she did a closet tour on.
I think she has, like, a tour on her YouTube channel, but I'm not interested in a YouTube tour. I'm just...
No, I'll take a BravoTV.com, like... tour.
No, I'll take a spot on Real Housewives. That's what I'll take.
Yeah, of course. They need her desperately.
Yeah, she could save it once again.
Once again.
Okay, well, those are the Fast Five stories. I feel as though you needed to know them. Now, quick Roni recap, because I'm going to assume you didn't get around.
I didn't, but I would love to hear you tell me what happened.
So, not that much happened. The episode ends with the beginning of the Audrey Hepburn party, and we don't hear Ramona yet saying,
fuck,
what happened to class? What happened to elegance?
So that is literally going to be like the best moment of my life. What happened to class? Elegance. Like, I can't wait. I thought they literally teased it like it was going to happen this week.
Yeah, no, it's not this week, but Heather does attend the party. She was completely ambushed by Leah and the girls bringing up, like, everything she ever said on her podcast. I thought she handled herself so well. Some things she was like, listen, I didn't say that. You know, they write these headlines, and then you get to the meat of the article, and there's nothing there. And then other things, she's like, yeah, no, I said that shit. Like, that's how I felt. But I, like, this shit about Luann, like, not being authentic. She was like, yeah, no, I said that. Like, that's how I felt, but you've been through so much, and I'm really hoping we can, like, have a deeper friendship that's not surface level. And that's exactly, like, what I hope she was going to say, because Luann is a different person now. Mm-hmm. So I'm team Heather. I don't know why Leah's coming so hard for her. Like, if they have extenuating beef, like, please let us know, because Heather was so nice to her in the Hamptons. They replayed their introduction. When Heather comes to the house, she's so warm towards everyone. Like,
I like Heather a lot.
I like her so much. And Leah was even making fun of her. Like, they put Heather at the lower level, and they were talking about how they were going to do that. And Leah goes, I'm sure she'll be like, it's all good, mama. Yeah, she will, because she's a fucking nice, positive person.
Oh, my God. Don't make fun of her mama. I love her. No, that's so mean. Honestly, Leah's turning really into, mean, like, a little bit of a bully.
She is. And I really, really like her. I just don't like when she goes for people who aren't deserving of it.
No, and you know what? This energy that she has, she really could have used on Dorinda last season. And I just feel like, as much as I really, really like Leah and her energy, and she brings such youthfulness to the show, and she's funny and stylish, she has some of, like, the worst judgment I think I've ever seen on a person. Like, because she came into this group last season and made a choice to defend Dorinda, which is, like, literally the dumbest thing you could possibly do. And now she's just, like, trying to girl gang up on Heather, and I don't like that at all.
Yeah, and she also is just, like, so critical of Ramona. Like, every, like, these two people are extremely different, but, like, and especially when you're gonna, like, laser focus on everything Ramona does, yeah, you're gonna be bothered by
her. Gonna be disappointed.
You're gonna be extremely disappointed. Like, she is who she is, and, like, I you're never gonna change Ramona, so stop trying. Like,
yeah,
either accept her for who she is, or don't go and stay at her house.
Agreed. And the lack of respect that this group, particularly Leah, is having for Ramona for opening up her stunning top 10 most rich housewife homes to them, it's actually not nice. It's not, they're not being good guests.
Not nice. But in Leah's defense, she is going through a hard time. But yeah, then it's like, I can give someone that line of defense.
Of course.
Like, easily. But then it's like, if in their interviews, which are recorded, like, later, and they have, yeah, like, and they have a little bit of hindsight, if they're still, like, going so hard, sometimes harder, and, like, yep, doubling down, then I don't extend the same grace.
Gratitude. So she, like, grace, not gratitude.
In her interviews, she's so, like, just hateful towards Ramona. And I just don't understand.
Why?
I don't understand it. Yeah.
No, I know. So, it's actually really bothersome, because as much as I try, like, I just can't quit Ramona Singer. She is truly delicious. I tried. Because, like, a lot of the stuff she did in the past seasons, like, she really lost me. The Cartagena season was so transformative for this entire group, because literally the way that every single person turned their backs on Bethany in one of the darkest times in her life, unapologetically turned their backs on her and went in on her, except for Sonia Morgan. I never looked at Ramona the same again. I never looked at, well, Luann was kind of not involved. I never looked at Dorinda, Carol, Ramona. I never looked at them the same ever again. So I just feel like things haven't been the same with me and Ramona since then, but I'm getting back to BC Ramona before Cartagena.
No, I tried to quit Ramona. I did. And it didn't stick. And now I can just, like, appreciate her for who she is and, like, what she brings to the table. And I appreciate a person who is unlike others and who is committed to remaining themselves.
That's true. Even if themselves is a little wacky sometimes.
Yeah, but, like, most people, like, just want to be liked and accepted. So, like, they'll be fake enough just
to, yes,
like, but she's not. She's herself. And she doesn't apologize for it. And I appreciate that quality.
That's 100% true. Also,
so, I mean,
oh, sorry. Yeah, what happened on the episode?
Knowing how it turns out for Heather and Leah, like, I obviously am not hopeful. But if I didn't know, I would say, like, I hope that they can, like, turn it around and be friends, because I don't know why they wouldn't be. But we know that it ends really badly. So,
yeah, I think, like, after this, like, Heather decides not to be, like, friend of anymore.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't come on this show to get ambushed. It was always really fun for her.
She comes into the house with like such good positive energy, and everybody is like cold and rude to her, and she gets shafted to the lower level. Ugh. And why the fuck would she do that? She seems like an extremely busy person.
No, of course, like she has an actual business to run, and maybe if you had something that you were passionate about, that's really upsetting. It really is, because I'm a big Heather fan.
Yeah, no, it was justice for Heather because she was treated unfairly. And like in any situation where a whole group is going up against one person, especially a person who just walked through the door.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's not, you're not gonna come off well.
And sometimes it's warranted, of course. But honestly, like with this Heather stuff, like, first of all, she is right. A lot of this stuff gets misconstrued in the media. And two, like, it's not that big of a deal. They're acting like she murdered someone.
No, totally.
She was talking shit like everyone else.
Danielle Staub walking through the door, like that energy, like
is not necessary.
Also, yeah, she was talking shit, and like Lou made a good point where it's like I can't trust someone who's just gonna like go and talk about me.
That's true.
But that's also what they all do. Every season opens with Ramona said this to Page Six. Like,
yeah,
that's their literal jobs.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that holds.
Also, really quickly, I just started the new season of Shaws of Sunset. There's only been two episodes. I really think you should watch it. It reigns supreme. It's like every season I'm like, they're not going to be. And I feel like it's such an underwatched show, but it's unbelievable. And there's such crazy drama. Like, and I feel like the Shaws characters are really not that famous. So if this was like a certain drama that had happened to like a Real Housewife, we would have heard about it. Like how we know Erica Jane's scandal coming up. But there's like all this drama with Mike. He has another girlfriend. You know, he was married. He cheated on his wife. He's cheated on every girl he's ever been with. And he is in a great relationship now with this girl, Paulina. And like everyone loves her. And it's just like, don't fuck it up. And of course, like Paulina gets these like screenshots that he's like sexting with some girl. And do you know what his response was? His defense?
I saw it on your story.
He said his iCloud got hacked, and he's literally lying to all of his best friends. Like, these people have been friends for 30 years. He's lying to his girlfriend. He's lying. They're all in a house in Palm Springs together, lying to their faces. I don't know how you could literally be such a bald-faced liar, but we're at this very weird period in Shaws because MJ and Reza, like, were broken completely. Like, you remember last season he said that horrible thing about her, and it's obvious that they do. He feels really bad and they're ready to move forward. But like, first of all, Adam is being like such a baby. Like Reza's like ready just to get back with MJ. He misses his girl MJ. And Adam's like, I just like don't really feel safe. Like, shut up. Like, he's being a drama queen. But then also Tommy is like, I don't want Reza around here. I'm going to break his legs. Like they can never really become that close because both of their partners are so against the other that like, even though they both are like really down to move forward, I don't think they'll ever really be able to be back where they were.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they'll ever be back where they were because too much has happened, but they can move forward. And I'm sure eventually the spouses will fall in line, but Adam needs to take several seats.
I've never disliked a character so much who's literally not even a castmate on the show. Like,
yeah, no, I can't believe that he's still around. Honestly.
No, I know, because they've had like so many marital troubles. Like, remember when they went to Thailand and like they didn't get married? Like, and then they got married at a surprise wedding. Like, it was very twisted and very Reza. But it looks like it's going to be a really good season, and it just, like, is such a good show. Like, I really just advocate for it because it's stunning.
Yeah. I will I'll probably watch it. I just, you know, my content plate, always full. Always
constantly evolving. Yeah, but it's in the time slot that your Real Housewives of Atlanta used to be on.
Oh, Sunday night.
Okay. It's a nice time to watch.
Oh, Sunday night.
I just have to say, I do feel better, like, having spoken and moved my limbs, like, podcasting, definitely. I'm still not great, but I definitely feel like I might be able to like go up, get something to eat, you know?
Yeah, and you could edit the vlog.
Yes, I will do that today.
Because I want to watch it.
Me too. Honestly. I was watching the clips last night and I was just like cracking up.
That is so funny. I just remember laughing so hard. I'm really excited. And then if you guys like it,
we're going to do a reverse because Jackie deserves to be tortured and have her closet become a mess.
I was hanging stuff up. I was being so supportive. Anyways, that vlog will be up most likely today, patreon.com/themorningtoast. We have so many vlogs, episodes, fun stuff. If you're going to miss us for the long weekend that we're making a little longer, Patreon has your back. It always does. It's always there for you.
Constantly.
Constant.
So I hope everyone has a great day. Sorry that there was no humping or Dear Toasters, but we're back in studio tomorrow. We'll give you a nice, juicy, long episode, and we'll do Dear Toasters then so we can really finish out the week strong IRL.
Yeah, also, just something that I'm toying with that I just want to run by the group. I'm getting a facial today.
Blog?
Because my... No. Oh. Because my... Crazier than that. Because my skin is trash. And when you get a facial, like, you're not really supposed to wear makeup. Like, I'm thinking of tomorrow's show because, like, then after the show, like, I'm traveling and I don't need to wear makeup again till, like, Friday. I might go no makeup on the show tomorrow.
Okay, here.
I've never done that in my whole career.
I have done it on The Breath, like a couple of my hangover episodes, but I don't think I've ever done it on The Toast. I mean, it's a fucking crazy thing to do. And I the only time I feel like safe doing it is like if I have a spray tan.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to have a spray tan, but today I am getting my brows and lashes dyed, which like is extremely
That helpful. Helps.
So I just need to do maybe like
By the way, I want to let you know, like, I fully support it. Like, I think you're stunning no matter what.
I think I'm going to do it because it's what's best for my skin. My skin needs to breathe. Like, we wear a lot of makeup on the show. I'm constantly putting makeup on, taking it off, like, working out, sweat. Like, I need a break, and it works for my schedule to not wear makeup tomorrow.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I was actually thinking of maybe getting a spray tan today, hitting up the Versa Spa. And if I do, I will join you.
Wow. And I might even, like, I might wear a hat, you know?
Oh, my God. She's Mrs. Hat.
Because actually, I make it like such a big deal in all of our vlogs. I'm never wearing makeup in the vlog from last night. Not wearing makeup.
But vlogs are protected. There's a paywall to protect us.
It's protected space. I agree.
Okay, but I love that for you. I truly, truly do.
Thank you. So, just like another reason to tune in tomorrow.
There's always a reason to tune in. We got Dear Toasters. We've got NMJ, No Makeup Jackie. Maybe an NMC. Who knows? Thank you, guys.
That's our show.
Yes, it is. Very good point. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing hump day. Don't forget to hump someone you love. Theo.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.